I don't know. It's like somebody said Macbeth in here or something. Isn't that the one you're not supposed to say? But here we are. Thank goodness for this scripture. It sort of gives us a little comic relief if we haven't already had some. Such a nice story, isn't it? This young man, Eutychus, sitting in the window, listening to Paul preach, falling asleep like we would never do, because Paul's good, right? I mean, we're still reading his sermons, but this young man's listening to Paul's sermon. He falls asleep and falls from the window to his death. Paul says, have no fear. I mean, it says that, falls to his death. Paul says, have no fear, runs down, wraps his arms around the young man, and says, oh, don't worry, he's not dead. And then, this is the part you gotta love, Paul goes back upstairs to preach some more from midnight to daylight. I think we throw some communion in there. I mean, this is a heck of a church service. And then everybody around daylight went home happy, including the guy that had died the night before. It's a funny little story. I could talk about this story a lot, but here's where the rubber meets the road. And here's why I've come to love this Bible on Broadway series so much. I can talk about Eutychus all day. Boring sermons and young people who have stayed up late, falling asleep and toppling out of windows. That would never happen here because we don't have windows. Or if I wanted to, I could go a little deeper. I could talk about the youth sitting in the window, maybe wanting to sort of try things out for himself, not come fully into this gathering because after all this religion stuff was really his parents' decision, not his own. Or I could get edgy and talk about all the things we older folks do to keep the kids on the edges, sitting precariously in the window seats. I could warn the old folks that the kids are looking through the window always, metaphorically, seeing what we are up to, seeing if the things we preach and teach are the actual things we say and do. Some of you older folks might even feel a bit scolded if I went in that direction. But this is July, Broadway at Uprising. And the kids in Spring Awakening aren't okay with sitting in the window, aren't content to passively receive anything we older adults are handing out. These kids with their rock music and crude language are singing their hearts out, demanding to be heard. You know, here's about what's going to happen today. These kids are going to preach, and we're going to perch in the window and listen, and fall asleep at our own peril. Spring Awakening is a coming-of-age rock musical based on the 1891 German play Spring Awakening. Set in the late 19th century Germany, the musical tells the story of teenagers discovering the inner and outer tumult of adolescent sexuality. Spring Awakening is as hard as it gets. We have three main characters, young people, Melchior, Moritz, and Wendla. And only one of them is alive at the end. All of the songs are important. All of the lyrics need to be heard. But if we shared them all with you, we'd be here more than 2 hours. So let me guide you through. To begin with, you heard the girls from the musical singing, Mama who bore me, Mama who bore me, Mama who gave me no way to handle things, who made me so sad, Mama the weeping, Mama the angels, no sleep in heaven or Bethlehem. Some pray that one day Christ will come a-calling. They light a candle and hope that it glows. And some just lie there crying for him to come and find them. But when he comes, when Christ comes, they don't know how to go. And then we go darker. The dark I know is about the most horrible violation of a child. And it's where we start.
There is a part I can't tell about the dark I know well. You say time for bed now, child. Mom just smiles that smile, just like she never saw me. Just like she never saw me. So I leave one just to hide, knowing deep inside you are coming to me. You are coming to me. You say all you want is just a kiss goodnight. Then you hold me and you whisper, child, the Lord won't mind. It's just you and me. Child, you're a beauty. God is good, the loving, ain't it good tonight? You ain't seen nothing yet, gonna treat you right. It's just you and me. Child, you're a beauty.
I don't scream, though I know it's wrong. I just play along. I lie there and breathe. Lie there and breathe. I want to be strong. I want the world to find out that you're dreaming on me. Me and my beauty.
Me and my beauty. You say all you want is just a kiss goodnight. Then you hold me and you whisper, child, the Lord won't mind. It's just you and me. Child, you're a beauty. God is good, the love.
I'm not going to give you statistics about children and abuse. I want to try to give you a plan, a way to take steps before the children become statistics. These suggestions are from RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network. I'm uncomfortable with the words. I thought today I'd just give you the acronym, but this is Broadway. And we can't avoid the words because the actions behind them exist. We have to use them. So here is a plan for how to help your children stay aware, become educated, set boundaries, be strong. And you might be thinking, well, I don't have children, or my children are older than this, or my children aren't near that age. Let me tell you, we all have children. All of the children are ours. Here's what you need to do. Start by being involved in the child's life. Being actively involved in a child's life can make warning signs of sexual abuse more obvious and help the child feel more comfortable coming to you if something isn't right. If your children can't talk to you when things are fine, how can they talk to you when they're struggling? So stay involved in the child's life. If you see or hear something that causes you concern, take action. You might be wrong, but better to take action and be wrong than to take no action when your fears were real. How do you do that? There are lots of possibilities here, but I'm going to just highlight one, so let me run through the others. How do you do this? How do you stay involved in a child's life? Show interest in their day-to-day lives. Ask what they did during the day, who they did it with, who did they sit with at lunchtime. Get to know the people in your child's life. Know who your child is spending time with, including children and adults. Ask your kids regularly about the kids they go to school with, the parents of their friends, the people they encounter during a day, like specials teachers or teammates or coaches. Talk about these people openly and regularly and ask questions so that your child can feel comfortable doing the same. Choose caregivers carefully, whether it's babysitters, whether you're going to a new school or daycare facility. Here's an interesting one that, and it's why I put it up here. It's a little bit counterintuitive, and it's certainly not comfortable. Talk about the media. Incidents of sexual violence are frequently covered by the news and portrayed in television shows. Ask your child, age appropriate, you know, at a certain age, your children don't need to be watching the news, right? Ask your child questions about the coverage to start a conversation. A question might be as simple as, have you ever heard of this happening before? What would you do if you or a friend were in a situation like this? By bringing up these topics, you can signal to your child that these are important issues and you can talk with them and they can talk with you about it. Know the warning signs. Become familiar with warning signs of sexual abuse in children. Notice any changes in your child, no matter how small. And pay attention to the children who aren't your own, the ones who come to your home or play with your child, or are on their teams. A second thing you can do is encourage children to speak up. When children know that their voices will be taken seriously, it gives them the courage to speak up when something is not right. Again, if we aren't opening the communication, inviting them to speak up when things are fine, how will they have the courage to speak up when things are far from fine? As soon as your children are able, begin using words to talk about feelings and emotions. And if you haven't started conversations like this with children in your life yet, and you're thinking it's too late, It's never too late to start the conversations. Teach your children about boundaries. Let them know that no one has the right to touch them or make them feel uncomfortable. And this includes family members and teachers and authority figures. Teach your children how to talk about their bodies, not just with euphemisms, but age appropriately. From an early age, teach your child the names of their body parts without shame. Teaching a child these words gives them the ability to come to you when something is wrong. If we cannot say the words, we are denying the actions behind them. Be available. Set time aside to spend with your child or other children. Let the children know that you have come to, that they can come to you with any kinds of questions, that there are no bad questions. Encourage them to come to you if someone else is talking to them in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable. This is very important. Reassure them over and over that they will not get in trouble for anything they tell you. Many perpetrators use secret keeping or threats as a way of keeping children quiet about abuse. Remind your children frequently that they will not get in trouble for talking to you about topics, no matter what those topics are. Give them the chance to raise new topics. Often when our children return from time away or a sleepover, we'll ask them, "Did you have fun? Was it a good time?" Those questions won't get to all the answers that you need. Give them some openings to create topics. Is there anything else you'd like to tell me? Is there anything else we should talk about? Anything you'd like me to know? Anything we've talked about before that maybe came up? Open up those topics. We can't keep every child safe, but we can keep more of them safe. We find out about this darkness that so many of the children in Spring Awakening know well. And it's not long before it is too late for some of the children in the musical. The next song we're going to look at is Left Behind. And here are just a few of the words I want you to listen for. The talks you never had, the Saturdays you never spent, all the grown-up places you never went, all of the crying you wouldn't understand, you just let him cry to make a man out of him.
Fold his hands and smooth his tie. You gently lift his chin. Were you really so blind and unkind to him? Can't help the itch to touch, to kiss, to hold him once again. Now to close his eyes, never open them. A shadow passed, a shadow passed, yearning, yearning for the fool it called a home. All things he never did are left behind. All the things his mama all his dad ever hoped he'd know. Oh, had the Saturdays you never spent, all the grown-up places you never went, and all of the crying you wouldn't understand. You just let him cry, make a man out of him.
A shadow passed, yearning, yearning for the fool it called a
Most of us understand that life is a fearful thing, even for those of us who feel comfortable in our own skins, who are surrounded by love. We still have fears. Just last week, Cindy and I were talking in the office about some of the things that we feared for the young children. Will they have enough drinking water? Will they have enough food? What is going to happen to this climate? Will there be jobs? Will there inflate? We talked about all these things we're terribly afraid of for the young people. Newsflash. Young people aren't worried about the same things that we are worried about for them. And because we are trying to amplify their voices, let me share with you the top three things that our young people are genuinely frightened by. Because what our teens fear are quite different from what keeps us awake at night. Basically, there are three innate fears that drive teen reactions. I'm going to give you the three, and then I'm going to offer three antidotes. Fear number one, rejection. Fear number one, rejection. We want to be liked, we want to be accepted, but with teens, that desire trumps all others. They fear being rejected by a best friend or a team or a coach or a teacher or an adult. The second thing that they fear is uncertainty and being left alone. Your teens may like, or teens in your life may act like nothing bothers them too much, but ever present in their minds, you can trust, is their understanding that there is a survival of the fittest environment in their schools, in the places they play. At any time, our acceptance into a group can be turned on its head and we can be left alone. Have you ever seen what happens as your children get older and the ones that used to play t-ball together, now all of a sudden one of them doesn't make the team and is left behind? The ones that used to play rock band in the garage, some of them are really talented and they go off and they start the group, and the one that wasn't quite good enough is left behind. Someone who's really good at sports sustains an injury that keeps them away from practice and leaves them left behind. And a third fear that our children are facing is being a target. And I want to make sure we understand something about bullying. You know, it's not the child who is bullied that invites the bullying. It's certainly not something they've done wrong or something they've presented that makes them the target of the bullying. A child can be bullied because he is simply alive next to another child that needs to act out aggression or insecurity. What are the antidotes to these fears that our children have? The rejection antidote is unconditional love and acceptance at home. Get to what you need to get to. Parents have to provide discipline, structure, healthy expectations, but start with unconditional love and acceptance at home. Teach your children that rejection is a part of life and help them understand how to accept that rejection in healthy ways. Listen to your child talk about their hurts and respond with, "No wonder you're hurt. That sounds very sad." And then remind them, "When I look at you, I see someone very special. I see someone very special. I believe in you. I'm blessed to have you in my life." Such unconditional love won't make everything right, but it will help the child be more resilient. The uncertainty antidote of being left behind is stability at home. We know how hard that one is. It's hard enough just to be the adult, to make the money, to pay the bills, to keep the marriage intact. And then I have to provide stability for the kids and generally a few teammates and a few neighbor kids. And what about that kid down the block that I'm sure no one ever makes dinner for? Let's have him over too. It doesn't have to be perfect, but all that you can do to add a safe, calm atmosphere will help your child. A specific routine. Maybe you can't even fix dinner together or eat together, but maybe when your kid comes home and pulls something out of the freezer, you could have left them a note there. "I hope you had a good day. I'm missing you. I'd rather be home." It's not easy. Antidote number three. The antidote for being afraid of being the target is a balanced perspective where we remind the children constantly, we are in this together. We are in this together. And when your teen has the the courage to talk to you about, Mom, the other kids aren't wearing this. Dad, not being able to do X means I can't talk with all my friends who are doing X. Can we figure something out? Be in them with it and let them constantly know that you are with them. Let them know that the world is not always fair or loving, that people can be mean. Perhaps share a time when you too were a target. Sometimes we think we have to show the children all of our strength and how we've made it. But sharing our weaknesses allows them to have moments of weakness as well. Give your teens credit. They're more resourceful than many of us know, but they still need us. As we start to wind towards the end of this sermon, I want to get back to the church. I want to get back to Eutychus and falling out the window and all of that, because it's easier. You know, this story issues a wake-up call, but as I said, not for the children falling asleep, but for the clergy and the lay leaders and the adults in the congregation who find it much easier to talk around real world issues, focusing on heaven, eternity, purity, sin, resurrection. I'm not saying those things don't matter. I'm not saying they're irrelevant. I'm saying they are deep and nuanced and maybe not what we should lead with. Because it's true, as trite as it has become, children don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We've got to stop running scared in the church. Whether you're here today because this is your faith community or you belong to another, demand that your clergy and your lay leaders help you deal with real life issues. You can demand more than thoughts and prayers, even in church. Before you baptize your child, ask the pastor if the blessing they are about to pronounce on your child would change if the child comes out as gay. When your child enters elementary, have a meeting with your priest. What if my child or my child's best friend is trans? What will they find here? What will I find here? And demand to know how you will be treated as well. Will my faithfulness be questioned? Will I be treated differently if my child struggles with addiction, fails classes, gets arrested, becomes pregnant, chooses to responsibly end a pregnancy? How will I be treated here? One of my favorite quotes of all time about the church comes from Pastor Fosdick, Henry Emerson Fosdick, a pastor, I think he lived from the early 1900s till the late 1960s. And here's what I want to share with you from him. You see a quote there? No? Yes. Okay, let me just share it with you. Science treats a young person's mind as if it were really important. A scientist says to a young person, come, study with us. See what we already have seen and then look further to see more. For science is an intellectual adventure for the truth. Can you imagine anyone who is worthwhile turning from that call to the church if the church seems to say, come and we will feed you opinions from a spoon? These prescribed opinions we will give you in advance of your thinking. Now think, but only so as to reach these results. We've got one more song. Those you've known, a few words I want you to listen to. And I want you especially to listen to them as the church. We talk about the community of saints. No one who's been here has ever left us. Those that we love, those that we watch serve at the communion table, those who greeted us, those who built the place, those who prayed for us and taught us and sometimes scolded us. You know who I'm talking about. They are still with us. Those you've known and lost still walk behind you. All alone, they linger till they find you. Without them, the world grows dark around you. And nothing is the same until you know that they have found you. Those you've pained may carry that still with them all the same. They whisper, all forgiven.
Those you've known and lost still walk beside you. All alone they linger till they find you. Without them the world grows dark around you. And nothing is the same until you know that they have found you.
Those you've pained may carry that still with them. All the same, they whisper, all forgiven. Still your heart says, the shadow brings the starlight, and everything you ever been is still there in the dark night.
Though you know you've left them far behind, you walk out by yourself and not with them. Still you know they fill your heart and mind when they say there's a way through this. Those you've known and lost still walk behind you. All alone, their song still seems to find you. They call you as if they knew their longing. They whistle through the lonely wind, the long blue shadows falling.
All alone, but still I hear their yearning. Through the dark, the moon alone, they're burning. The stars too, they tell of spring returning. And summer with another wind that no one yet has known.
Still you know there's so much more to find. Another dream, another love to hold. Still you know to trust your own true mind. On your way, you are not alone.
Now they walk on my arm through the distant night, and I won't let them stray from my heart. Through the wind, through the dark, through the winter light, I will read all their dreams to the stars. I walk now with them.
Not gone.
I'll call on their name.
Not gone.
And I'll see their thoughts are known.
Not gone.
Not gone. Not gone. They'll walk with my watch me, I'm calling, I'm calling, and one day all will know.
So I end this moment with this sermon with a moment of biblical trivia. I've been talking today about Eutychus, the young man who fell out of the window. You need to know that Eutychus means fortunate one. I'm not sure how that goes together, falling three stories to his death. But here's what I am certain of. It's largely up to us to learn, to listen, to love. It's never too late for us to make sure that our children are the fortunate ones. Amen.